And it was also a time of crisis for the prophet Isaiah, a man who had prophesied over the course of several different kingships. However, in this particular incident, Uzziah had been known as one of the greatest kings that Israel had ever had. In fact, historically, when we study his life, he ranks up there in the very top of those that had a great influence on the people of God, as well as the nations that surrounded the land of Canaan. And so there's a lot to preach in that respect. I don't want to get in that this morning, but suffice it to say that this was a time of crisis because King Uzziah had died. And it was at this critical time that the Lord pulled back the curtains of the glory world and let this prophet Isaiah see some things that would forever change his life. It was a time that they lost their king. It was a time that a king who had been highly revered had died. But he said it on this wise. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also. Amen. I like the way that the prophet words the scripture. I saw also the Lord that was sitting upon a throne high and lifted up. In a time of loss, in a time of sorrow, in a time of crisis, Isaiah was able to say, I saw something beside the loss. I saw something beside the crisis and the death. And this is really where you and I have to come to in our life and in our walk with God. There will be times in our life when we're going to need to see something beside our loss and something beside our trouble, our trials of life, the crisis that we go through. We need to see the Lord. You need to get a good vision of your God. See something beside what you're dealing with. Wherever you are today in this house, that's why the presence of God has saturated this house. That's why the glory of God has rested upon this congregation, because the Lord wants someone in this house to see something different than what you're going through. Whatever you're dealing with in life, there is a God that wants to make a difference. But you got to see him. You got to get a good vision of him. Come on, let's clap our hands and give him praise. So many times when we're going through tough times of life or a trial, we often say it on this wise. The Lord, it seems, is trying to show me something about myself that I have never seen before, an area that I need help or change in. But I am convinced that there are times when the Lord wants to show you something about him first before he shows you yourself. Because if you see yourself before you see God, you're going to be helpless, you're going to be hopeless, you're going to feel like that there's no chance of any kind of change in my life. But if you see God first and you see his greatness, you see his power, you see his glory, you see his grace, you see his mercy, and then you see yourself, you say, I think I can make it. I think with the help of God, a change can take place in my life. With the help of God, a difference can come to me. And that's exactly what happened with Isaiah. Here he says, in this midst of trial and crisis, he said, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And it was in the midst of this glorious vision of seeing the glory world and the holiness of God that Isaiah then saw himself. He describes the glory of the vision, the post of the door moving, hearing the cry in the glory world, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And in the midst of all of that, he sees himself. He sees his own failures and his own shortcomings. And as a result, he cries out and says, "I am a man of unclean lips because I dwell among a people of unclean lips." It was in the presence of God that Isaiah saw himself. And this is where many people find themselves today. They don't want to get in the presence of God because it is there. They realize how much of a failure they are. They understand how unclean and filled with iniquity they are. But I submit to you today, there is no greater place that you can come to in your life than to get in the presence of the Lord God. Can I say to you, don't run from it, run to it. Don't run away from God, run to God. Yes, come on, hallelujah. Anybody know that to be true today? Can anybody testify that the greatest thing that ever happened to you was to get in the presence of Almighty God? Hallelujah. There's one thing I want you to notice, and that is in Isaiah's words, he said, "I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips." It appears that Isaiah had adopted the condition of those around him as his own state of life. And can I submit to you that it is a very dangerous thing when we allow others around us to define who we are and subsequently our walk with God. We must be careful with the influences that we allow in our life. I'm telling you, our culture can define us. I know that. I know that as a personal experience, as being raised in the deep South and being taught and being trained with regards to other nationalities and people. But I came to a place one day where I said, I'm not going to live my life based on the culture that I have been raised in. I will not view other people in the same fashion that I had, that the others around me will view them. Come on, church. I made my mind up. Jesus died for all of us, no matter who you are. Do you really believe what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. I'm talking not just from the standpoint of racial prejudices, but other kinds of prejudices, whether it be economic prejudices. There are people that live in a certain economic strata that they have a prejudice against others that have not reached that point. Let me tell you today, when you read Acts chapter 2, there are three areas that the prophet of God, the man of God, addressed when it comes to those receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. He said, "Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." He's telling us this is for male and female. He said, "Old men will dream dreams and young men will see visions." That means the Holy Ghost is for the young and it's for the old. He said, "Your servants and your handmaidens." He's telling us it doesn't matter what the social strata is that you are a part of. The Holy Ghost is still for you. Come on. If you're young, the Holy Ghost is for you. If you're old, the Holy Ghost is for you. If you're poor, the Holy Ghost is for you. If you're rich, the Holy Ghost is for you. Amen. You got to be careful letting culture define you. You have to be careful letting your environment define you. Doesn't matter what neighborhood you live in. It don't have to define who you are. It doesn't matter what your job environment is. It doesn't have to define who you are. It doesn't matter what school you go to. It doesn't have to define who you are. Our upbringing, those that raised us, who influenced us, we have to come to a point where that we rise above those kinds of influences and decide, I'm going to let the Word of God influence me. I'm going to let the Spirit of God influence me. Amen. If we're not careful, we let Hollywood define us. Oh, hallelujah. If we're not careful, we let the fashion designers of our world define our concept of beauty or our perception of what holiness really is. Amen. Nothing wrong with dressing nice. Nothing wrong with looking nice. But I'm going to tell you, the fashion designers of our world, they are not apostolic. They're not baptized in Jesus' name. They're not filled with the Holy Ghost. They don't really know what holiness is. They don't know what separation is. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 10 and 12 said it on this wise, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, they are not wise. You see, it's easy to begin to compare yourself with other people. In fact, it can happen even in church. You can look across the aisle and say, I'm not as spiritual as them. Or you can look across the aisle, the other aisle, and say that I am more spiritual than what that individual is. That's a dangerous place to get in. Your spirituality is not determined. It is not defined by those around you. Oh, glory to God, I need a little bit of help right now. Amen. They may not be as spiritual as you think they are. And you may be a little more spiritual than what you think they are. You just don't know. That's why you can't look around you and compare yourself with everybody. What I'm trying to tell you is, don't let other people define you. There is a defining place. There is a defining. Well, hallelujah. Alcoholics Anonymous, we honor them. We respect them for the effort that they're putting forth. But they define you as a recovering alcoholic. But Jesus defines you as a delivered alcoholic. And there's a big difference in the two. Hallelujah. You may be defined today as an alcoholic. Jesus Christ wants to define you differently. You don't have to be that way. You may be defined as a drug addict, but that's not what Jesus wants you to be. Amen. Your family may look at you and they may have all kinds of ideas and tell you what they think about you. But when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, he let you know what you meant to him. He gave his blood. He died for your sins. I gotta get past this, but I can't get past it till I tell you that one of the most dangerous places that you can go looking for your definition is social media. Oh yes, amen. Hallelujah. Social media has become the place where young people define their self-worth. That's where they define their self-esteem. I'm telling you right now, that's not the place to find out who you are and what you are. Hallelujah. Oh yeah, I knew it'd get a little quiet right then. But you hear me when I tell you that is not the place. Most of that is nothing more than fake. It's a facade. It's not real. Find your definition somewhere where there's a reality, where there is truth, where there can be a difference made in your life. Praise God. So we don't need to let others define us. Secondly, you don't need to let the devil define who you are. Amen. There came a day that the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also. And the Lord said, where you come from? He said, I've been going to and fro and up and down in the whole earth. He said, I want to ask you a question. He said, have you considered my servant Job? And I'm going to give you my definition of him, Satan. There's none like him in the earth. He's a perfect man. He's an upright man. He's one that fears God. He's a man that hates, or he eschews. He runs from evil. And Satan looked back and said, God, I hear your definition. I see what your perception of Job is. But I want to tell you something. There is a reason why that Job serves you. He doesn't serve you for naught. Amen. He said, I'm going to tell you, you made a hedge about him and about his house and about everything he's got on every side. You blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But I want to tell you something you don't know about Job. You put forth your hand now, touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face. And the Lord said, all right, everything he has is yours. You just can't touch the man. I don't know how that makes you feel, but it makes me feel mighty good that the Lord sets a limitation on the devil. Well, hallelujah. I said, he sets a limitation on the devil. He can only go so far. You hear me today? He don't have free run in your life. And so Satan went out. He took everything Job had, his children, his flocks, his herds. Job was decimated from the standpoint of possessions. And the Bible tells us that when all of that happened, Job arose. He rent his mantle. He shaved his head. He fell on the ground and he worshiped. And he said these words, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord took away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, I want you to understand my explanation for how I got everything. God gave it to me. I'm going to tell you how I lost it all. The Lord took it away. And I'm going to tell you my response to the receiving and the response to the losing. It's one and the same. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I blessed his name. Amen. I blessed his name when I had it all. And I blessed his name when I've lost it all. And all of this Job sinned not, neither did he charge God foolishly. So the second time around, same thing. And the Lord spoke to Satan the same words in the beginning, and he added these words. He said, and still he holds fast his integrity, although you move me against him to destroy him without a cause. And Satan said, oh yeah, I understand all of that. But there's one more thing you don't understand. Skin for skin. All that a man has will he give for his life. Put forth your hand now. Touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you to your face. Do you understand what the devil was trying to do to Job? He was trying to change the definition of Job's life, who he was and what he was. And whenever Job's health was now taken away from him, when Job lost even his physical well-being, and his wife said, do you still retain your integrity? Curse God and die. He said, woman, you speak like a foolish woman. What shall receive? Well, shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil in all of this? Did not Job sin with his lips? I'm trying to preach to somebody here today that because you are plagued by the devil, it doesn't mean that he can change who you are in God. You need to make up your mind. You need to look at the devil. Praise the Lord. If my monitor man would bump me just a little bit, I appreciate it. You need to look at the devil and say, I'm going to tell you something, devil. Amen. If that's all you got, you need to come up with something better. If that's all you've got, you need to try a little harder. I want you to know that my mind is made up. I'm like Job, who said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Woo! Though he slay me, if he kills me, I'm still going to trust him. He said, furthermore, though the skin worms destroy this body of mine, yet in my flesh I'm going to see God. Whew, hallelujah. Amen. You got to come to a point where Job, when he felt desperate and he felt like, I can't find God anywhere. Front, back, side to side. I can't see him. I can't touch him. I can't find him. He still said, but he knows the way I take. I'm not changing who I am. Hallelujah. When I had everything, I worshiped my God. And though I have lost it all, my mind is made up. Amen. When he's tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I'm making my mind up that my feet are going to hold his steps. There's somebody in this house that you need to tell the devil this morning, I'm tired of you trying to redefine me. You can go ahead and tempt me, but I'm not giving in. You can pressure me, but I'm not giving up. You can do everything you want to do. I'm going to be what I was. The Lord didn't give me the Holy Ghost to backslide. The Lord didn't wash my sins away for me to go back and live the way I've always lived. You don't need to let the devil define you, and you don't need to let other people define you. Amen. No matter who they are, your family, your friends, your co-workers. It doesn't matter what kind of influence that they have on your life. They don't need to define who you are. And the devil sure don't need to define you. But there's one other area that we have to be careful in. And it's found, the example that I use is in Luke 22 and 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith fail not. And when you are converted, strengthen the brethren. And Simon said, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both into prison and to death. And the Lord said, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt deny thrice that you know me. The Lord was saying to Simon, Peter, I'm warning you ahead of time. You're going to mess up royally. You're going to fail tonight. You're not going to fail once. You're not going to fail twice. You're going to fail three times in one night. You're going to deny that you have anything to do with me. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail you not. Do you know what Jesus was saying to Simon? He was saying, Simon, I don't want you to let your failure define who you are. My, hallelujah, hallelujah. I feel like I'm touching something right now in the Holy Ghost. I don't know who you are sitting on these pews. I don't know what your failure has been, but you've been living under the cloud, the dark cloud of your failure for weeks and months and maybe even years. This preacher has come to tell you that that failure does not have to define who you are. That mistake doesn't have to define who you are. Hallelujah. You don't have to go through life living under the oppression of a failure. I'm telling you, the Bible tells us that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us. It cleanses us. His blood wasn't just good the night that you got the Holy Ghost and were baptized in Jesus' name. His blood's good enough for you every single day. The word of the Lord tells us that his compassions fail not. His mercy is new every morning. Before you ever got up this morning, he had mercy ready. He had mercy. Oh, glory to God. I said he had mercy ready. Before you ever failed, he already had your mercy ready. Huh? I understand Paul said, shall we sin? He said, shall we sin? Amen. Romans chapter 6, verse number 1. Let me get it right in my mind. Somebody say amen. Amen. Shall we sin that the grace of God may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We're not talking about living in sin. We're talking about people that are striving for righteousness, striving for being what Jesus wants them to be. And in spite of their efforts, they fail. And then they go through life feeling like, I'm never going to be anything. Amen. You come to church and you can't worship because you're living under that cloud. You come to church and you're standing there thinking, if I get out there and praise God, there's going to be people here that know. They know that I've done wrong. They know that I haven't been what I should be. They know I failed God. I failed my family. I failed the church. I failed my pastor. I don't have a right to praise him. I'm not good enough to praise him. Can I remind you that the psalmist said that we are to praise him according to his excellent greatness. We are to praise him according to his mighty acts. We are to praise him in the firmament of his power. We are to praise him. My God, hallelujah. Come on, come on. I'm not praising him this morning because I'm perfect. I'm praising him because he's perfect. I'm not praising him because I'll never let him down. I'm praising him because he never let me down. Yeah. Come on. Somebody ought to get out in the aisle right now and say, devil, I'm going to tell you right now, you're not going to hang this over my head any longer. Well, praise the Lord. Come on, that ain't good enough. We ought to do it again. Hallelujah. I'm not living under this anymore. You're not defining me by my failure. Come on. I'm not a failure. I'm a worshiper.
I'm not a failure. I'm a praiser.
I don't mean I'm going to preach a long time. I'm just getting rid of it because it just got too hot. Somebody shout hallelujah. Huh? I'm not a failure. I'm a praiser. I'm not a failure. I'm a victor. I refuse to be a victim this morning. I refuse to live with a victim mentality. The psalmist said, by my God, I've run through a troop and leaped over a wall. You've got to decide whether you're going to be a victim or a victor. You've got to decide if you're going to live in defeat or you're going to live in victory. Amen. Simon, it don't matter what happens in the next few hours. Don't let that be the defining moment of your life. Because I'm already telling you ahead of time, when you are converted, strengthen the brethren. You're not going to be known as the man that failed me. Huh? Listen. The Bible tells us that whenever that rooster crowed, Simon went out and wept bitterly. Amen. He wept bitterly. Now, I want to ask you a question. I don't know. I've been in a lot of third world countries. In fact, I'm getting ready to make a four nation trip to Africa in 2 weeks. I've been in a lot of places. Amen. All over this world. And there's not been very many places I've been in third world countries that I wasn't awakened by a rooster before daylight. Huh? Amen, because everybody's got chickens. Amen, that's how they survive. Every morning, they get woke up by a rooster. He's crowing before the sun ever comes up. Amen. Simon, from that day forward, every morning, there was a reminder that he had failed. Don't kid yourself. The devil will never let you forget what you have done wrong. He will never let you forget your failure. I feel Holy Ghost in this house right now. He will never let you forget your failure. I'm going to tell you, on the day of Pentecost, before there was a sound as of a rushing mighty wind, there was the sound of a rooster crowing. Come on, but it wasn't long. Simon Peter was talking in tongues. He ignored the rooster. He ignored the crowing. Come on, some of y'all need to ignore the rooster this morning. I said you need to ignore the rooster. You need to be like Simon Peter. When you hear the rooster crow, he got up and said, that's all right. I'm going to preach today anyhow. I'm going to have revival today anyhow. I'm going to see God work anyhow. Huh? Some of y'all heard the rooster crow before you ever got to church this morning. And that's why you've been sitting there and ain't done nothing all morning, because the only thing you're hearing is a rooster crowing. You ought to hear Jesus say, get up. That rooster don't define who you are. That crow don't define who you are. Huh? Isaiah, Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell among a people of unclean lips. And the word of the Lord said, a seraphim took a live coal with tongs from off the altar, the altar, the altar, the altar. And he flew down there. This is what I like about this. It's that he flew. That means that he went rapidly. That means he went quickly. Some of y'all think you got to pay 6 months penance before you ever can get back up and shout, before you can ever get back up and worship. Not when the altar redefines you. Because when that seraphim took that live coal and put it on Isaiah's lips, he said, your lips are purged. Your iniquity is purged. Your lips are clean. You're not what you used to be. You're not what you used to be. Let me tell you, friend, you want to get a redefinition in life? Right here's the place to get it. Right here's the place. Get in the altar. Let there be a redefining. Listen, what Isaiah saw was the throne of God's holiness. And right beside the throne was the altar of cleansing. And I'm going to tell you why you need to use the altar today. Because when you go to the book of Revelation, all you see in Revelation is the throne. No altar is there. When this thing is over with, there won't be an altar. The altar is present and available right now. Huh? You can't wait till you die for the work to be done. It's got to be done right now. There's a throne of holiness that's calling you. There's a throne of holiness that's appealing to you. But there's an altar that says, I'm going to fix it right now. This altar's open right now. You want to get defined? Get defined by the altar today. If you've had a failure, get back to the altar. Get defined by the altar. I said, get defined by the altar. If you've let other people define you, let the altar redefine you. If you've let the devil define you, let the altar redefine you. Hallelujah. If you let Satan define you, then come on down this altar. Let the altar redefine you. Woo! Come on. Come on. Come on. There's people in the altar right now. for people today. You need to get the fire by the altar. Let the fire of the Holy Ghost touch your lips. Bring the fire of the Holy Ghost touch your lips. It'll change your definition. You'll go from a cursed sinner to a talking saint.
I got
Somebody shout unto God. Come on, let the devil know you're not defining me today. I'm defined by Jesus.
Yeah. We win.
We win.
We win.
We win.
We win.